Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started.
Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. I'm your host Avik, and today we are joined by the remarkable Milena Delinoros. Welcome to the show, Milena.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here today.
Lovely, really lovely. So Milena, like before we start our conversation today, because today's topic is very great, where we'll be talking about Karishma Unleashed and also about embracing the authenticity and the presence. So definitely the discussion will be a lot of deep discussion and understandings. But before we do that, I would love to mention this to all of our listeners that Milena is a Karishma guide with a unique background in psychology, rhetoric, and teaching advanced human dynamics to the military professionals. Yeah. So she's on a mission to redefine that charisma and unlock its transformative power for everyone. So why to wait? Let's join us as we explore the essence of charisma and its inclusive nature. So stay tuned for an enlightening conversation with one and only Milena. Welcome to the show again, Milena.
Thank you. And thank you for that amazing introduction. You honor me truly. And when someone else says it, it feels even more profound to understand that this is what I have set out to do, to help more people embrace their own charisma and help it grow as much as they can. We all have this seed of charisma within us, and it's up to us to make sure that we nurture it, that we remove all of the weeds that are trying to take the energy from it and help it grow into this amazing flower that it can be. The garden metaphor is because here in Sweden, where I'm currently located, it's spring. So the gardening work is just about to get started. And I actually love to work with the earth and being near, earth and flowers and healthy herbs and so on. So that's that's where I got that from. Yeah.
That's really great. That's really great. So to start with, Milena, like if you can share about your personal journey and how it led you to become a Karishma guide.
Absolutely. I was quite a shy girl when I was younger, and I didn't like it. I didn't like that label. So I made sure to change that. Yeah. And my way of doing that was to try to understand the dynamic of play, of interactions between children, between adults, and also trying to learn as much as I could from the research findings that were available at that time from psychology, for example. So that's one of the reasons why I actually chose to study psychology at university as well, because it had been something that I had already been dabbing into so much just for my personal interest and growth journey. And one thing led to another. And before I knew it, I was actually teaching these things to other professionals and in the military nonetheless. So somehow I feel that even though I never at that time in my life would identify as a charismatic person, somewhere I started to have enough knowledge and insights to be able to share it with others, and that other people also deemed me as somebody worth teaching and coaching others it wasn't called charisma, but interpersonal relationships, body language, how to build great and genuine relationships, how to choose how to present ourselves consciously with intention and things like that. So I feel that these things, had I been just given a package, a done deal when I was a young girl, I would have happily just infused all of that and, you know, become that person right away, because it wasn't always so fun to feel that I want to express myself differently, but I just don't know how. But now I feel that I have, well, for myself, developed a very broad repertoire of how I can show myself to the world, depending on what I want to show, depending on what my goals are, depending on who I'm with and how I want to also make them shine. So I have this desire to also help others feel that they are totally in the power to choose this for themselves as well, if they wish to.
Wow. So what inspired you to write the book about Karishma, and what do you hope that readers will take away from it?
So this is basically the book of my dreams. I have been writing it, but I have maybe not been aware that I'm writing it for several years. I've written down notes here and there, and just like maybe a year ago or something, I started to actually look through all of this more systematically and finding the commonalities in all of these musings I had written down and my different reflections and also takeaways from other people's knowledge and insights. And what I discovered was that, first of all, this is going to help a lot of people. This is not something I have the right to keep secret and have stuffed away in a drawer somewhere. This needs to come out to the world because it will help people feel more empowered. It will help them gain the tools that they can use in accordance with their values and their aspirations to show that version of themselves who will be the most aligned with their future self, with their ideal future self, or highest self, should we call it. So that's what I want to help other people do. And charisma is a very grateful topic to be using as a doorway into this empowerment journey, from, for example, being a shy person to somebody who decides if they want to be shy in this moment or if they want to take more space and be brave in how they interact with others and feel very confident in their abilities and in their interpersonal relationships, creating a genuine connection with others and so on. But also sometimes connecting can be hard, especially in this day and age when so much is moved from in-person interactions over to the internet, for example. So before this transition started happening, already it wasn't completely effortless to all people to go out there and make friends and, for example, put themselves out there when searching for love or going for the job that they really want and not like some form of second dream job, but really feeling that they deserve what they want and they have what it takes to go and get it. So even before this transition, this wasn't completely effortless and obvious how to do these things, but now it's even harder. And now more than ever, things like presence and being our authentic selves and knowing how to just be present in a connection, it is getting harder and harder for people. So I hope to try and shift this trend into a more positive direction also by writing my book and sharing my message.
That's really great, I would say, yeah. So, I mean, in your experience, what are some of the common misconceptions about Karishma and that you aim to dispel through your work?
Yeah, so I've written a lot about presence and authenticity already. And just for example, about authenticity, a common misconception is that by being authentic, you are automatically sharing everything about yourself and being vulnerable as a part of being authentic means giving everything to people about your private life. And that means some form of showing yourself and showing up. But that's wrong. Being charismatic and being authentic also means that you have integrity and you know what you want to share about yourself, about your life, and with whom. Nobody has the right to know anything about you just because you have set out to be more charismatic or more authentic. No, it is up to you to feel safe and in a trusting relationship for, you know, honoring another person with something that could be considered your innermost dreams or something that has been traumatic in your past that you have gained some insights from. This is not for everybody's ears. And make sure to really see that the people who you share things like this with deserve to be in your inner circle, that you share things like this with people who you trust will never misuse this against you. And saying this does not go against the trend of vulnerability. Vulnerability does not mean that you put yourself on an altar ready to be sacrificed at any moment. That is not vulnerability. Vulnerability means that you know and you decide what is something that you are comfortable with sharing, and also sticking to your guns and to your boundaries when it comes to who deserves this knowledge and who doesn't.
Understood. So, I mean, if you can also share the difference between authentic charisma and manipulative charm or seduction.
Absolutely. Actually, I am active on X, and I think it's a great forum. I really enjoy myself there, and I've come into contact with amazing accounts and people who are the faces behind these accounts with great insights and like really interesting content. But there are also some accounts that I have first followed because I've thought like, oh, these are some interesting new perspectives. Mm-hmm. And also I've heard things about this and I'm curious, okay, what do these people say? But I've had to unfollow them because I've just gotten a bit scared almost. And the content I'm referring to is red pill seduction content. So it's basically men teaching other men how to seduce women, where they often portray women as some form of victim, that the seducer is a predator in that relationship almost, and using a lot of manipulation to seduce this person. I'm not a big fan of that. But what they teach can sometimes be very effective because it will touch on the seduced person's psyche in very powerful ways and lure them in. And for me, that is manipulative seduction. It's not used by healthy, strong people who feel confident in themselves and in their worth as a man, or as a woman for that matter, if women use these tactics. A person who knows their worth will know that they don't want to go after somebody who they have to manipulate into liking them. They will never do that. They will genuinely want a person who really wants them back, who wants to be with them, their real self. And they will want to amplify who their real authentic self is rather than using tricks and manipulative tactics to form some form of image that is not true about them. Either way, that will collapse after a while because nobody will want to act their way through a longer relationship, for example, anyway. If they're not after a longer relationship and they just want some form of body count, sure, but still it feels like they're not doing themselves any favors either. They are making whatever hurt or insecurities that they have that led them to this type of content from the start, they're making these hurts even worse in some way and prolonging the time it's going to take for them to heal and know their real worth.
Got it. So, I mean, You have also mentioned about your background in teaching the advanced human dynamics to military professionals. So how has this influenced your understanding of the Karishma and its applications?
Yeah. So those people who I taught were already very proficient in their interactions with other people. So basically, we were teaching a lot of tools and techniques, for example, body language or how to pose very powerful questions. And all of that was very focused on the external skills of how to apply these methods. We weren't really talking about the inner dynamics of charisma. We didn't utter the word charisma. This is something that I have understood also from observing the students and what we taught and how it landed in different students. Because some were really good at these things naturally. And what happened was that they got words to describe something that they were already doing, and they could just keep doing what they were already doing. While others got the tools, they got the techniques, and they could start practicing the tools and techniques. Some were doing it really well, and it seemed very natural. While for others, it could be a little bit mechanical. It was as if somebody said, okay, move in this way, talk in this way, and they were doing it instruction-wise correctly, exactly as we instructed them to do. But something just felt off. And this is somewhere where time comes into play. For somebody to feel confident in something, they need time to be able to practice it. And limited time means that you gain limited results, which was the case then. But charisma, the way I see it, is never ending. We can always grow our charisma. We can, as long as we live, become more and more charismatic versions of ourselves and learn more and more, for example, through traveling to different countries and cultures, through broadening and expanding our network of friends. We learn more. So this, through lessons, through coaching, is not the only way to become proficient in human dynamics, interpersonal relationships, but rather going out into the world and seeking out the relationships that fulfill you and that will give you insights about yourself, about friendship, about love, about productive work. That will be the most valuable we can do to increase our charisma and also our confidence in relationships. So time doesn't have to be an issue in real life charisma, as it could be sometimes in the limited time of the courses that we gave.
Got it. So, I mean, what are some of the challenges that people face, or maybe people might face, when trying to embrace their authenticity and the presence, and at the same time, how can they overcome them?
Yeah. So I would say that one of the challenges with being present is our extremely fast-paced society, where a lot of people have just made it a habit to try and multitask. And while they are physically present somewhere or in a situation with another person, they are mentally somewhere else entirely, thinking about something, worrying about the future, trying to remember tasks that they need to perform at work the next day, instead of, for example, playing with their child who they are currently with. And same thing, when they come to work the next day, they're already thinking about the next step, and so on. So one of the things I think would be very beneficial for somebody who wants to experience feeling more present in the moment happening here and now is to allow themselves at least some minutes per day to start with, where they really allow themselves to drop all worries, drop all planning, and just be here. It is also a way to build really beautiful relationships with your close ones, for example, to show them that you are here. Attention is one of the rarest commodities nowadays. So, for example, a thing like putting your phone away and not worrying about notifications or a phone call from someone or anything else. If you're currently with another person having a conversation, make sure to put it away. Be here. Talk to this person you're with right now. And common things like that, easy things to do. If you're, say, cooking, well, you don't always have to also listen to a podcast while you're cooking. You can just enjoy making sure that you're here and performing this beautiful task of preparing food and trying to think of how profound and important it can be. If you're doing this just for yourself, or if you're doing this for yourself and other people as well, you're here and you're preparing this meal. You don't need to do something else and distract yourself each time you do this. You can allow yourself at least once in a while to just do one thing at a time. I think this is something we need to become used to again, that we don't have to have this crazy tempo of running, so to speak. We can also just slow down. And maybe you've heard of this slow living trend that's been growing. A lot of people are incorporating it into travel, like slow traveling, for example. And I think it's a reaction of having had to have this hurry all the time and feeling in a rush to get somewhere, instead of just also being somewhere and being someplace sometime. I think it's a feeling of being fed up with that tempo. Oh, and yeah, your question about authenticity also. It is not easy to be brave enough to show our true self to the world. And it's also not easy if you don't really know who your true self even is. Some people don't feel that they know what, for example, what their message is to the world. They don't know what they can offer and talk about and in what way they can show themselves. They think that, well, what do I have that is so special? Or what do I know that others would find fascinating and interesting? And that can be a mental block that makes it hard for them to feel that they are authentic. But the thing about authenticity is that you don't need to be original in any way. You just have to be you, which is also like really, really hard to interpret an advice that says just be yourself. I know I myself am not a fan of the advice, just be yourself. So if we break it down, like what does it mean to be yourself? Well, it means to take the time to follow your own curiosity and your own joy by asking questions like, what is fun for me? What am I genuinely interested in? If I could go and spend, say, a couple of dollars on a book, and I can only choose one book, which topic would I choose the first topic for a book to read about? And if I myself would write a book, what would I want to write about? What would it be worth it to spend all of those hours of writing if I could choose a topic to publish a book about? What hobby would I be willing to invest time and energy in? And not try to please anybody else when answering these questions, but only answer them for yourself to start understanding, well, what am I naturally attracted to? That is one way of becoming more authentic, because it is going to give you answers about who you are, what you like, what you are fascinated about, and what you are naturally drawn towards is part of the answer to who you are.
Exactly. That's really true. Yeah. So before we wrap up, like, what are your future plans for Charisma coaching programs, or how can our listeners connect with you for more learning and all?
Absolutely. So the book I'm writing, I am hoping to get it done enough to be starting looking for literary agents maybe in a few months or 6 months. And in the meanwhile, I'm also building a coaching program, which I want to launch in a couple of months as well. And the coaching program will be for people who want to work personally with a coach in developing their charisma from the inside out. And it will be a deeper way of getting access to their charisma than just the tools. Of course, the tools will also be there, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. I want them to go deep in and remove the blocks that they themselves have created for themselves, that past experiences have created, and which can be hard to overcome by oneself. Maybe sometimes you need this big flashlight that a coach can offer that will even help the person see the blocks and help them gain the strength to remove them. And also to realize the client's own power and potential. That is so important. So personally, I feel that I've gotten a lot of help and strength from working with amazing coaches in especially these things, overcoming blocks and realizing my own strength. And thanks to that, my own beliefs in myself, my own expansion of what is possible for myself, my own life vision is growing by each day. From what this is what I could imagine for my life a few years ago, and now it's just amazingly huge. So I hope to be able to bring that to the people who choose to work with me in the future. People will be able to reach me on my soon-to-be-launched website, which is www.milenadalinaros.com. And in the meanwhile, I'm active on X, like I said, with the handle at Milena Dalinaros. And on Threads, I'm active with the handle Milena.Dalinaros.
That's lovely. Really great. Great. So so thank you, Milena, for joining us today. And dear listeners, definitely, we have learned a lot about charisma and the authenticity and the presence. So for this, definitely want to extend my big thank you to Milena for sharing her experience and Milena's insights into charisma, authenticity, and the presence have been invaluable, I say, because always remember, dear listeners, that charisma is within us, each of us. So that is waiting to be nurtured. So embracing that authenticity and presence can lead to a genuine connections and the more fulfilling life. So connect with Milena through her upcoming book, blog, through X, and also the coaching program for the continued growth. And thank you so much for joining us, everyone, today on Healthy Mind and Healthy Life. Until next time, stay tuned for more empowering conversations, and take care and be well. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Avik.